Well, it's the end of the semester, and I'm so glad to be with you again this year. It's been a wonderful experience to be a part of your lives. Some of you will be moving on. I've enjoyed my relationships with you through the years, and look forward to those that are returning next year to see you and be a part of your life as you continue your preparations for gospel ministry. But whether you're leaving or staying, I desire for each of you to stay the course and enjoy a lifelong and fruitful pastoral ministry or career in Christian counseling. And I have every reason to believe that you will as you minister and counsel under your Heavenly Father's watchful eye. With that in mind, let us pray before we read God's word. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, our Holy Father, we would be heartbroken if we came to this place of worship and sang your praises and read your scripture, heard your word preached, and we left no better than when we came. So we ask that you'll meet with us and take the words that we hear with our outward ear and graft them to our hearts that we might bear fruit to the praise and glory of Jesus Christ, that indeed we might stay the course in ministry and counseling. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture lesson is Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go in your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in heaven, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Here ends the gospel lesson. This is the word of the Lord. Hypocrisy is deadly. The word comes from the stage. In the ancient world, an actor during the course of a play would play several roles, and he would use a mask as he changed from role to role. He pretended to be someone he was not. And that's who the hypocrite is, someone who pretends to be someone he is not. And in the Christian church, the hypocrite wants the reputation for holiness without being holy. The hypocrite wants public honor without personal integrity. His concern is for a good name, not for a good life. The applause of man means everything to him. The praise of the Heavenly Father means nothing to him. Hypocrisy is deadly, and it's easy for any one of us to become a hypocrite. Now, if I read this text to you and you said in your heart, "Father, I thank God that I'm not like the hypocrites," then I don't think you were listening to the word the way you should. Each of us is in danger of becoming a hypocrite. Don't misunderstand me. No one ministers well or counsels well if he's indifferent to the feelings and opinions of others. You have to pay attention to the people you are serving. The problem comes when we cross a line in ministry and ministry becomes to us a performance. And what matters to us in ministry is the praise of man and not the pleasure of God. Here's what happens when we slide into hypocrisy. We continue to minister in the name of Christ without communion with our Heavenly Father. And unless we think carefully, we can cross the line into hypocrisy without even knowing it. We must live deliberately and intentionally in the presence of God. And that's what I want to help you do this morning. So here's my plea this morning. Minister and counsel under your Heavenly Father's watchful eye. And I want to give you three exhortations to help you do it. First, under your Heavenly Father's watchful eye, I want you to practice your righteousness. Look with me at verse 1. It says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." Now, don't skip over those words, "practice your righteousness." You must practice your righteousness. Your deepest desire must be to bring every aspect of your life, your inner character, into conformity with the Word of God. You must practice your righteousness. Our Lord focuses on three religious duties that were commanded in the law of Moses, and God's old covenant people were obligated to keep them. Here they are: give to the needy, verses 2 through 4, pray, verses 5 through 7, and fast, verses 16 through 18. Old covenant believers were bound to perform these duties. And the problem here is not with the duties they must perform, but the way in which some men were performing them. Now, as I read through some of the texts, I want you to focus on the words "seen by others" and "praised by others." And I want you to focus on the word "reward." Listen as I read about giving to the needy. Verse 2, "Thus when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the street. They must be praised by others, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward." Now about praying, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward." And about fasting, look at verse 16. "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. The hypocrite practices his righteousness to be seen by man and to be praised by others. That's what the hypocrite wants. That's what the hypocrite gets. And that's all he gets. And when his reward is gone, and when all the praise of man comes to an end, his reward is gone in this life and for all eternity. Guard your heart against hypocrisy. So here's my warning to you, those who are preparing for pastoral ministry and Christian counseling. If you perform the duties of a pastor or a counselor to be seen by men and to be praised by man, your ministry won't last. Or if it does for a time, it won't be fruitful. One of two things will happen. Either you will be discouraged in ministry as you see people push back and resist you, and you'll give up and leave the ministry. That's one of the things that may happen. One of the things that concerns me with young men and women, and I'm sure it's true in every era, you come to seminary and you've had a lifetime of building relationships with people that want to be with you. You and your friends share mutual interests, mutual admiration. You want to spend time together, and when you're together, you build each other up. You praise each other. Then you get into the ministry. You get to your first church, and not everybody praises you. As a matter of fact, some are indifferent to you, others downright hostile. And if you enter into the ministry solely because you want the affirmation of human beings, you're not going to make it. You're going to give up. You're not getting the reward you want, and you're going to walk away from it. And that's why thousands of people every year leave the Christian ministry. And I don't want that for you. Ask yourself, it's what is motivating you in your desire to be a minister or a counselor, is the applause of man? If it is, beware. So I'm concerned that you'll become discouraged in ministry as people push back. If all you're seeking is the applause of man, and you'll end up leaving the ministry. Or if you choose to stay, you'll shift gears and do only what brings the applause of man. And you'll give people only what they want, not what God wants. The only way that I believe that you, for a lifetime, can stay the course in a long and fruitful ministry is to minister and counsel under your Heavenly Father's watchful eye. And that's my plea for you this morning. Under your Father's watchful eye, practice your righteousness. And next, under your Father's watchful eye, enjoy your reward. Under his watchful eye, I want you to enjoy your reward. That's a key to staying in ministry over the long haul. Giving to the needy, praying and fasting. What I want to do now is for us to look at each of these a second time. And this time I want you to focus on the words, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Look at verses 3 and 4. When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Then verse 6. But when you pray, go in your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And then in verse 17, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may be seen by others. May not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Give to the needy in secret, and your Father will see. And you ask, well, what is my reward? If you give to the needy, extending the merciful hand, then you will sense more and more the mercy that your Heavenly Father has extended to you. You'll know more and more of the mercy of His Son, who in His incarnation impoverished Himself that you might become rich in Him. You see, as you give mercy to others, in the very act of giving mercy, you're imitating your Heavenly Father, and He draws close to you and encourages you with His mercy. Blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Pray in secret, and know that your prayer has not escaped His notice. He sees you. And as James tells us, as we draw close to Him, He draws close to us. A prayer, intimacy with the Father. As you draw close to Him, the reward is Himself, as He gives Himself to you in His grace. Fast in secret, quietly denying yourself and without fanfare. God sees you. God sees you as you plead for His aid. Pour out your heart for Him to come to your aid and the aid of the people you serve and counsel. He sees that. He hears you as you pour out your heart, mourning for your sin and grieving for the sins of your people. He sees that, and He comes and He binds up your broken heart. That's your reward. The Heavenly Father Himself. Plead as you fast in secret. Plead with your Heavenly Father for patience to wait as He fulfills every promise He has made to His people. And as you fast and wait patiently, the Lord gives Himself to you. We do these things in secret, not to be seen, because we don't care about the audience of man. We care about God. And we do these things because we seek the favor and the presence of Almighty God. Now, here's my concern this morning. If you do ministry without a desire for the reward of the Father coming to you in His grace, if you do ministry for any other reason, there will be a time when you will become empty and tired and discouraged, and you'll throw in the towel. You're not receiving from ministry what you want, the applause of man. But if what you want as you give, as you pray, and as you fast is the Father Himself, the Father will give Himself to you and enable you to fulfill the callings of your ministry and counseling. So my plea for you this morning is that you stay the course and enjoy a long and fruitful pastoral ministry. And I want you to minister and counsel under your Heavenly Father's watchful eye. And so it's under your Father's watchful eye that I want you to practice your righteousness, that I want you to enjoy your reward. And next, under your Father's watchful eye, I want you to pray. I single out prayer for special attention because the Lord does. What counts is not the length of your prayers. The pagans believed that. They believed that the length of your prayers, how loud you shouted, that that's what got God's attention. Jesus will have none of that nonsense. It's not true. So He says in verse 7, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Instead, go to the secret place and pray to your Father in secret prayer. Make the concerns of your Heavenly Father your personal concerns.
My Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I want your name to be honored in every area of my life. I want your name to be honored in the congregation I serve. I want your name to be honored in the lives of those men and women that I counsel. My Heavenly Father, I want your kingdom to come, that by my ministry, by my counseling, that your kingdom be advanced and men and women swept into it. Make that your prayer when you're alone and with your Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father, your will be done. I want you, Heavenly Father, to give me the grace to resist putting myself first and putting my interests ahead of the interests of your people and those I counsel. Make it my primary concern to work to establish men and women in your will. In secret prayer, make the Father's concerns your concerns. In your secret prayer, seek your daily bread. That is the material things that you need to sustain your life. As you wrestle with those things, you're going to find out a lot of the things that you think you need when you're alone with God. It's going to be confirmed that you can live without them. And you're going to learn to cultivate a spirit of thankfulness for the things that God does give you. And you're going to ask him over and over again, Father, give me contentment in the place where you've placed me and with the people that you've called me to serve. You may not be getting the recognition from them you desire, but you're satisfied because you know that you're in your Father's hand and he's placed you where you serve. In your secret prayer, confess your sins and rejoice in God's forgiveness. My Father, forgive my sins. And you pour your heart out to God, asking for the knowledge that in the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, your sins have been put away from you as far as from the east and the west. And in Christ, you have full access to your Father's throne room. And as you pray like that, you ask God to give to you the grace that you need to forgive others. And you find it. And you begin to recognize that it's inconceivable that someone who's truly forgiven can't find the strength to forgive others. Jesus' point in verse 14, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. When people not only don't recognize you, but they're hostile to you because you're doing the very things God has called you to do, that's when you want to go to the place of prayer and seek grace to forgive them in Jesus' name, even before they ask. It's in the place of secret prayer that bitterness and anger and heart hatred go away. In secret prayer, confess your sins, rejoice in God's forgiveness of you, and seek his grace to forgive others. And in secret prayer, beg God, beg him not to place you in the place where you might fall. Father, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Secret prayer, your time alone from God. You'll not receive any applause from man when you're alone with God. You'll only be there because you love your Heavenly Father and you want the reward of his presence with you. Without secret prayer, there is no real Christian ministry. Without secret prayer, there's no real Christian counseling. That's why Bishop Moule sought to impress upon his ministerial students that the heart of the minister's life is the man's secret communion with God. That's going to be the heart of your pastoral ministry. That's going to be the heart of your counseling ministry, your secret communion with God. Without it, not only will you fail, Without it, you shouldn't be in the ministry. Without secret prayer, we slide into a life of hypocrisy. We minister and we counsel in the name of God without any personal relationship with the Heavenly Father. And I don't want that to happen to you. Without secret communion with God, there is never a long and fruitful ministry, nor should there be. So here's my closing plea. Watch that secret time with God, that time that is known only to you and to God. Don't let anything impinge upon it. Other things can wait, but your secret communion with God, it can't. I believe with all my heart that the place where personal declension in religion begins, where people take that first step toward a fall, is when they've given up on their secret communion with God. But if you maintain that secret communion, if you're with your Heavenly Father alone and in prayer, when you go through those rocky times in ministry, you're going to make it, because you know what counts: doing the will of the Father. And in Christ, you have the Father's favor. It's in those times of secret communion with God also, when you go through the times when things in ministry are going particularly well, your heart will be guarded, because in communion with your Father, you know that everything that you see going on around you that is bringing honor to His name, that is due to the all-sufficient grace of Jesus Christ. No recognition should come to us. All praise should be to our Father in heaven, who has called us into fellowship with Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so I'll end this afternoon the way I began. It's my desire for each one of you to stay the course in ministry, to have a long and fruitful pastoral ministry or counseling ministry. That's my heart's desire for you. And I have every reason to believe that you will, as you minister and counsel under your Father's watchful eye. Let us pray. Not to us, our Heavenly Father, but to you be all glory. May it be our deepest satisfaction to come into your presence, to adore you, to be brought under the authority of your word and shaped and molded by it, and to return to your people with a renewed sense that you are with us and that you will always be our refuge and strength. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that we won't crave the praise of man, crucify that pride within us, subdue in our hearts the self-centeredness that would mar our ministry. We pray that you would uproot that self-pitying spirit that runs away from problems because we haven't received the recognition we wanted. May we crucify that and be content to live in your presence, doing your will, to the glory and honor of Jesus Christ, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.